This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And first of all, let me say it's great to be back. I was traveling around the world. I spoke in Australia and New Zealand for the first time. In fact, when I spoke in Sydney, Australia, we sold out. We sold out the Opera House. You know the famous iconic Opera House. Every time you see an advertisement talking about Australia, there it is in its full glory, the Opera House. Well, we sold it out. We had a sellout tour throughout New Zealand and Australia. But it's great to be back here in New York City interacting with you, the listener. And so once again, in this hour, we're going to take your listener phone calls. Now, if you want to be part of the March of Science, then get to the telephones and give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. 612-564-8135. Give us a call. Leave your name. Call letters of the radio station you're listening to, if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment that you've always wanted to make but never had the chance. Here's a chance to do it and get on national radio as a consequence. Have your voice heard on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. And by the way, one question that I often got when I was touring is, well, why do we have to learn science anyway? It's so abstract, it's so hard. And I tell people that, well, ultimately, science is the origin of prosperity and wealth. Think of it, 100, 200 years ago, people didn't live very long. I mean, life expectancy for most of human history was about the age of 25. That's right. On average, you wouldn't live much beyond the age of 25 throughout most of human history. During the Roman Empire, for example, life expectancy rose a little bit, up to about 32. But it fell back again during the Dark Ages. And so life historically was cruel, short, and brutal. And so we have to realize that what life would look like without science. Well, once again, in this hour, we're going to take your listener phone calls. So give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call, and you can have your thoughts heard on national radio on Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And also go to my website, it's mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or go to my Facebook site at Michio Kaku. We're over 3 million fans now on Facebook. On Twitter now, we're up to 670,000 fans on Twitter. And so find out what all the excitement is about by going to my website, going to my Twitter account, or my Facebook account. And once again, go to mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Okay, well, let's now move right on and take your first listener phone call.
Hello, my name is Keith. I'm from Minneapolis. And I'm a fan of Walter Miller's book, Canticle for Leibowitz, that deals with life on Earth after a global nuclear war. Some humans have survived, but the world has been reduced to stone. In the book, the monks of Leibowitz preserve the surviving remnants of man's scientific knowledge until the world is again ready for it. After a global nuclear war, I'm wondering how long you think it would take for humans to build civilization back to the point of, say, building a functional electrical generator or combustible engine and what would be the process humanity would have to go through to get human civilization back to those technological achievements. Thank you.
Well, yes, I'm familiar with that science fiction series, and we have a negative example of what might happen. Look at the fall of the Roman Empire. During the height of the Roman Empire, in the centuries after the birth of Christ, we saw a blossoming of science and technology at tremendous human cost, of course. However, the Romans built an empire of roads and buildings and aqueducts and monuments and temples, an incredible legacy, a legacy of engineering and science. But around 400 AD or so, the whole thing collapsed. And how long did it take to get back up to speed again? It took about 1,000 years. A lot of that knowledge was lost, and of course the records were burned down. The Library of Alexandria was burned. Most of the knowledge of the Roman Empire vanished with the Roman Empire. For example, the Romans were able to build concrete using a formula that we still do not really understand. You can still visit the ruins of the Roman Empire 2,000 years later, and the buildings that they built are still relatively intact. However, because we simply do not know how to mix concrete very well, our buildings last maybe 50, maybe 80 years until they start to crumble. And so think about that. Even 2,000 years later, we're still trying to figure out how the Romans built such great concrete buildings. Now, you ask a different question. What happens today in the modern era if we have a nuclear war? How long would it take to reestablish civilization? Well, I think it would still take centuries. Of course, if a single microchip were to survive the nuclear holocaust, then of course we could then reestablish much of the technology almost instantly. The problem is not reestablishing the technology. That's not the problem. The problem is the social integration of science into society, because we degenerate into a bunch of barbarians. Now, if you want to know what society may look like after a nuclear war, just look at our ancient history, where we had tribalism, and for thousands of years, tens of thousands of years, we were in small little bands of maybe 100 people, each fighting to the death, fighting over limited resources. And you realize that human psychology hasn't changed much in 200 or so thousand years. In other words, even though we celebrate our monuments and our science and our technology and our rockets, even though we celebrate our achievements, we have to realize that the brain behind all of it hasn't really changed much in 100, 200,000 years. We still have the caveman brain, the cavewoman brain of our ancestors. And so the problem is not technical, reestablishing civilization after nuclear war. The problem is social. How will we govern ourselves after a nuclear war? Personally, I think we could very easily degenerate back into tribes of maybe 100 people. And these tribes would war with each other over limited resources. And knowledge would be forgotten in this process or hoarded by a few. And that's what prevents the rise of civilization over the next several centuries after a nuclear war. The technology is there. We can reestablish the technology very quickly. The problem is social integration. What kind of tribalism are we going to degenerate into after a nuclear war? And something to think about. It took 1,000 years after the fall of the Roman Empire. I think it would still take a few hundred years because of the fact that we still have the caveman brain, the cavewoman brain, and will degenerate back into tribalism after a nuclear war. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call. Wow. Well, unfortunately, that's it for this segment of Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we continue to take your listener phone calls. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask your question on National Radio.
20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, in this hour, we're going to take your listener phone calls. This is how you can be part of the March of Science. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. All we ask is that you leave your name, call letters of the radio station if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and then ask away. Make that comment. Make that question that you've always wanted to make but never had the chance. Now, some people say, well, I'm too shy. I can't do this. Well, you can go to my website and leave me an email. mkaku.org, mkaku.org is the website. And I'm also on Twitter and also on Facebook as well. And remember, no question is too dumb or too stupid to put on national radio. Chances are, if you have a question or a comment, no matter how silly, chances are thousands of other people have exactly that same question or comment, but are simply too embarrassed to talk about it. Well, you could talk about it on national radio. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Okay, moving on. Let's take now the next listener phone call.
Hi, Michio Kaku. This is Kenneth, listening on GCN. I'd like to ask about the mathematics behind music. I understand that certain, the Fibonacci sequence and the golden ratio are associated with the quality of music. So, in a sense, if that is the case, that a lot of Beethoven and Mozart's work is based on a Fibonacci sequence. Wouldn't that apply to aliens as well? So if an alien living from another living in another star system that has no human anatomy were listening to music, wouldn't he feel the same, appeal towards Beethoven that human beings do, since mathematics is actually the language of the universe itself? So wouldn't it make sense that, in not all cases is art in the eye of the beholder? In many cases, wouldn't it be actually a mathematical thing?
Well, you ask a rather deep question that has stumped psychology and scientists for generations. And that question is there a universal aspect to art and music that appeals to not just us, but to animals and to aliens from outer space? First of all, why do animals make sounds anyway? Why do crickets chirp and why do birds sing? And the reason is, evolution. It's a sign of maturity, and it's a sign of health and vigor that you can make these sounds with regularity, and it shows that it's an advertising call. That's why crickets crick and birds chirp, to attract mates. So scientists have actually analyzed the music of birds, believe it or not. We find that birds that are healthy, that have a clear vocal passage, that are free of parasites, make a very vigorous sound, which essentially advertises their health, advertises the fact that they're healthy, they're free of parasites, and they have a very clear voice, and that's very attractive to birds of the opposite sex. And scientists also found that the more complex the melodies of the birds, the more vigorous they were in terms of attracting mates. So in other words, it really does pay when you want to attract someone from the opposite sex to be able to hum a few bars and to sing with a very clear and pleasing voice. Now, you ask yet another question, not just art and appreciation and mating calls, but mathematics. Well, yes, it turns out that music has a mathematical basis to it, first worked out over 2,000 years ago by Pythagoras, the same guy who worked out the Pythagorean theorem for right triangles that we learned in school. That same Pythagoras also analyzed a lyre string. If I take a lyre string and I twang it, I get octaves. Octaves that are half integers of the length of the lyre string. So you realize that the two ends of the lyre string are anchored and they don't move at all. Therefore, if you vibrate it, the vibrations are in half integral fractions of the length of the string. You have the principal octave and secondary octaves. And so when you look at music, it turns out there is a mathematics behind the music. So will aliens from outer space also like music? Well, we don't know, of course, but it's very possible that certain sequences like the Fibonacci numbers that you mentioned that are found in nature are also found in outer space. And one day when we make contact with aliens from outer space, well, music may be one way in which to communicate with them. I like to think of it this way. Take a dog, a cat or a bat or an animal, and if you could somehow breed them over millions of years to have large brains and to become intelligent, what would their intelligence look like? Well, a dog's intelligence, if you could breed an intelligent race of dogs, would be based on smells. It turns out that dogs don't use eyesight and other senses so much. They use hearing and smells. Their brain lives in a swirl, hundreds of swirling odors that circulate inside the brain of a dog. If you take a bat and were to somehow genetically engineer it so it became intelligent, sonar. Sonar would be the way in which bats would communicate, by echoes, by chirping and listening to the chirping's echoes as it reverberates. And so then you begin to realize that, my God, animals, if they become intelligent, may have a totally different frame of reference than humans. We use eyesight. We don't use smell so much. We don't use sound so much. But we use eyesight. But a lot of animals don't have eyes at all, and they would have a totally different way of communicating. But anyway, to answer your question, I think yes, I think aliens will have some kind of music, because it does represent a regularity found in Mother Nature, and it also represents health. Now, scientists who've analyzed the mating calls of animals realize that animals that are healthy and symmetrical get more mates than animals that are not symmetrical. So symmetry also implies health, and so we find that in the animal kingdom, animals that are not symmetrical don't get mates because it's a signal of disease, injury, while animals that are symmetrical, it's a reflection of health. And so, in other words, one way to attract members of the opposite sex is to be healthy and to communicate in complex ways, like complex melodies. So maybe that's the origin of why people like Elvis Presley have such a magnetism when it comes to the opposite sex. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
This is David Ferguson from College Station, Texas. My question is in regard to the digitized individual. So would AI also be included in that? So if you were talking to Einstein with all of his writings and history behind him, would AI be able to basically recreate his thought process to answer new questions that he has yet to answer? Thank you.
Well, the answer is yes. What you're talking about is a digitized person, that is a person who becomes immortal by having everything known about that person digitized and recreated in the form of a human being. And so in the future, when you go to the library and get a book about Winston Churchill, in the future you'll actually talk to Winston Churchill. You'll talk to, let's say, a holographic image or a robot. And the robot or the holographic image will have all the memories, all the writings, everything that has been digitized and known about Winston Churchill. And then to smooth it out, in order to put in common sense and jokes and things like that, you'll probably have to put in artificial intelligence. Now, as you mentioned, well, I would love to have a conversation with Einstein. Someday, someone will digitize everything known about Einstein's writings and his personality, but to smooth it out, to put it together, to fill in the blanks, will require artificial intelligence. And that's, of course, when we start to tinker with somebody else's personality, perhaps not in an authentic way. That's a problem. However, in about 100 years or so, who knows for sure, the Connectome project will be finished, and I'll talk about that after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question and get on national radio. Once again, 612-564-8135.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC has relaxed some of its guidelines regarding social distancing in schools. On Friday, the CDC announced that it was changing its recommendation and that students should now keep 3 feet away from each other instead of the previously recommended 6, as long as those students are wearing masks. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb says it's important that the social distancing recommendations are being revisited. He tells CNBC that as we learn more about how the virus was spread, It became clear that 6 feet wasn't as effective.
We implemented it early on based on an assumption that coronavirus was going to spread like influenza, and there had been some prior research that flu spread predominantly through droplets, and if you stayed 6 feet apart from people, it reduced droplet transmission. We've subsequently learned that COVID, coronavirus, is spreading through aerosols, not just droplets, so probably 6 feet isn't as effective as it would be if this was purely droplet transmission.
This is USA Radio News. 2 days of talks between U.S. and Chinese officials in Anchorage, Alaska, ended Friday with no movement in relations between the two countries. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he was not surprised at the pushback he received when raising sensitive issues with the Chinese delegation, but told reporters there's a need for candid talks between the nations.
We certainly know and knew going in there are a number of areas where we are fundamentally at odds, including China's actions in Xinjiang, with regard to Hong Kong, Tibet, increasingly Taiwan, as well as actions that it's taking in cyberspace.
The 10th summit was the first meeting between U.S. and Chinese officials since President Biden took office. The topic of China will likely be on the agenda when Secretary of State Blinken heads to Brussels next week for a summit with NATO leaders. This is USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. We are taking your calls in this hour. If you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. When you hear the recording, leave your name, call letters of the radio station, if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and then ask away. Ask that question. Even if it sounds kind of dumb and stupid and childish, ask away. Chances are, if you have that same question, chances are thousands of other people have exactly that same question as well. Well, before the break, we had a question about digital immortality. Is it possible that one day we'll digitize everything known about us, our credit card transactions, captions or Instagram photographs or website information, everything known about us, and will it require a little bit of artificial intelligence? And the answer is yes, because you don't want to be talking to a tape recorder. You want to be able to interact with that person, gossip with that person, and that would require common sense and a little bit of background, and that would require artificial intelligence. However, in 100 years' time or so, who knows for sure when, the Connectome Project will be completed. Right now, we have, of course, the Human Genome Project, which is already entering the marketplace. Everyone is trying to get as much information about their bodies and genome as possible for health purposes and also to find out your origin. But beyond that, in about 100 years' time, we will map the entire human brain. Just about a month ago, it was announced that we mapped the entire brain of a fruit fly. That's right, they sliced up the brain of a fruit fly, reconnected all the neurons with a electron microscope, and bingo, 100,000 neurons were connected, and in principle, we can reconnect the brain of a fruit fly. Now, our brain is not 100,000 neurons. Our brain has 100 billion neurons, and as a consequence, it would take many, many decades, maybe a century, to have a connectome of the human brain. But when that happens, perhaps we'll be able to decipher the coding of the brain and then extract memories, your personality, your quirks. Everything known about you might be extracted once we have the connectome. But of course, we're far from that. We can only sequence the brains of animals, simple animals at the present time. But one day when we have the Connectome Project, literally you could live forever. Or at least your soul, your information in your soul will live forever. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
My name is Madeline Anderson, and I am calling from WGAW 1620 in College Station, Texas, and I would like to know how the sun formed.
Okay, well, that's a question that has haunted civilization for thousands of years. People worship the sun. They set their calendars to the sun. Mysticism and all sorts of sorcery were associated with the sun. But now we have modern astronomy. And with the Hubble Space Telescope, we can actually see stars in all phases of their life cycle. That's right. Within the range of the Hubble Space Telescope, we can see 100 billion galaxies. Each galaxy in turn has about 100 billion stars. And so that's 100 billion times 100 billion stars in the visible universe. Therefore, by analyzing the time sequence of these stars, we can then patch together the life cycle of stars, starting with a gigantic ball of gas about a light year across. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll talk about where the sun came from and how the sun will eventually die. Well, this is Dr. Michio Kaku, and this is Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. After the break, we talk about the life and death of the sun.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high.
From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Before the break, we had a call that came in about the life cycle of the sun. Where did the sun come from? And as I mentioned, we have actually a very good understanding of the sun. First of all, the sun started off as a ball of gas, perhaps a few trillion miles across. It was rotating very slowly, but gravity eventually began to collapse this slowly rotating ball of gas. And as it collapsed into a disk. The disk, the outer rims of the disk, eventually became the planets. And at the very center of the disk, most of the mass was concentrated into a ball of hydrogen. The temperature of the hydrogen began to rise as the ball of gas began to be squeezed. And as the temperature rose, eventually it hit, about 100 million degrees or so. At that point, fusion takes place. Protons slam into other protons of hydrogen, creating helium and energy via Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared. So E equals mc squared is not just the formula that we memorize for the hell of it. No, it is the secret of the stars. It's the reason why the universe lights up at night. It's the origin of all life on Earth. The energy of the sun comes from E equals mc squared, where m is the mass of hydrogen. E is the energy released when hydrogen fuses and turns into helium. Eventually, however, it exhausts its supply of hydrogen. We are halfway through that process. The sun is about 4.6 billion years old. In about 5 more billion years, it will use up its hydrogen and become a helium-burning star or a red giant. It'll expand, and at that point, it will eat up the Earth. And so if you understand how the sun was formed, you also begin to understand how the earth was formed and how the earth will eventually die. The earth will die when the sun uses up its hydrogen, expands and becomes a helium-burning star, a red giant, and 5 billion years from now, we will have the last nice day. The sky will be on fire, the mountains will melt, the oceans will boil, and we will go back into the sun. So the Bible says, from dust to dust, ashes to ashes, physicists say, from stardust we came, and stardust we will return. And eventually the sun will exhaust its energy supply of helium and become a small white dwarf star, which will eventually cool down to the point where there's nothing left to burn, and it'll become basically a black dwarf star, a piece of nuclear waste floating in outer space. So the poets ask the question, will the world end in fire or ice? We know the answer to that. The earth will end in fire when it's eaten up by the sun. The sun itself will end in ice when it uses up its nuclear fuel. The galaxy, by the way, our Milky Way galaxy, will end in fire when it collides with the neighboring galaxy Andromeda. And the universe itself will die in ice, we think, when it cools down to near absolute zero. At that point, by the way, trillions upon trillions of years from now, when the universe gets awfully cold and the universe itself dies, I personally think that we'll be advanced enough then to leave the universe. We'll create an interdimensional lifeboat, leave the universe, go to a younger universe, and perhaps mess that one up as well. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Dr. Kaku, my name is Ben. I'm calling from Phoenix. I'm listening on my TuneIn app. I believe it is WNTK. The call numbers. Quick question. With, in your opinion, I guess, along with Professor DeGrasse Tyson there, does the privatization and commercialization of this modern space race help to break down the barriers, such as the, you know, the black budget, black projects, that separate technology from you and I? And does Dr. DeGrasse Tyson think that this can ultimately help mankind grow as a species and help to break down those barriers? Because ultimately, we can't even fathom what it would take to become a Type 1 civilization. But didn't know if you had any thoughts on that, and as well as yourself. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. You asked a mouthful. And after the break, we'll talk about all the points that you mentioned. The Type 1 civilization, black projects, the civilian sector, and the public sector. We'll talk about all that after the break. And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We've all seen, and perhaps use, the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, the lines are open at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station you're listening to, if you're listening to one, and then the city you're calling from, and ask away. Ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bugging you about science. Well, before the break, we had a question, first of all, about Dr. Neil Tyson. We actually had him on Science Fantastic just a few weeks ago, talking about his latest book, Accessory to War, and it brings into sharp focus the relationship between the public sector and the private sector. And then you ask yet another question about whether or not we're going to make it to a type 1 civilization. So let's try to break it down. Neil and I both agree that we have to be realistic when it comes to the history of science. That yes, science and warfare have been linked ever since we picked up the first bow and arrow and we use it to fight, to find game. But also we use the bow and arrow to fight other humans. And so we have to realize that science, technology can be used either for good or for evil, because science is a double-edged sword. It can either cut against ignorance, poverty, disease, or it can cut against people. It all depends upon the democratic control of that sword of technology. Now, you also allude to the fact that the private sector is coming into the space race. I think in general that's not a bad thing, because of course governments do projects that have a lot of cost overruns, and they have to worry about public relations and things like that, while private corporations can cut a few corners and do things faster. But of course, because they cut a few corners, we have to worry about safety as well. But the fact that SpaceX, the fact that Elon Musk Blue Origins, the fact that Virgin Galactic, the fact that all these companies are being formed is reinvigorating the exploration of outer space. The cost of going to outer space has been dropping like a rock because of this, making it possible to have space tourism, making it possible that one day mom and dad might be able to go into outer space. And so I think that in general it's a good thing, as long as it doesn't get out of hand, the fact that the private sector is engaged with outer space. And we're going back to the moon as a consequence. The government, realizing how costly it is to go back to the moon, has basically not done anything about the moon for the past 50 years. But now Jeff Bezos of Blue Origins and Amazon, Elon Musk of SpaceX, are creating their own moon rockets with not taxpayers' money, but with their own funds. They are opening up their checkbooks. Elon Musk has the Falcon Heavy and the BFR rocket, and Jeff Bezos of Amazon Amazon and Blue Origins has his new Armstrong rockets. All these rockets are capable of reaching the moon. And so we don't have to wait for governments, which are very slow and cautious, to take us back to the moon and one day perhaps even to Mars. Now, you ask yet another question, and that is, will all this affect our march toward a Type 1 civilization? Well, let me try to break this down once again. We are a Type 0 civilization. A Type 1 civilization is about 100 years more advanced than us, and they use all the energy available to them that comes from the sun. They control the weather, for example. A Type 2 civilization controls the energy of a star. A Type 3 civilization controls the energy output of a galaxy, like Star Wars. Star Trek would be more like a Type 2 civilization, which has colonized a few planets and you can play with stars, but we are a Type 0 civilization. Now, will all this affect our march toward Type 1? And the answer is, I don't think so. I think it's inevitable, unless we blow ourselves up, it's inevitable that we will become a Type 1 civilization. We see the beginnings of a Type 1 civilization even as we speak. What is the Internet? The Internet is the beginning of the first Type 1 telephone system, the first Type 1 technology to fall into this century. And what language will this Type 1 civilization speak? Already on the Internet, English and Mandarin Chinese are the two most popular languages on the Internet. And so we're already seeing the beginning of a Type 1 civilization, and the fact that private enterprise is helping public enterprises begin the process of conquering outer space, I think will help, but not basically accelerate the march toward a Type 1 civilization. Okay, well, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hi, my name is Lance Rome, calling from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I listen to you off of your website. My question is more of just a crazy thought. With all this crazy weather that's been going on, with hurricanes and whatever all around the world, what if it's some big secret company trying to make the world a Type 1 civilization, and they're trying to control all the weather, and that's why they're getting all these hurricanes and horrible weather across the world. What are your thoughts on that, just for fun? Thank you.
Okay, well, definitely the weather seems to be very different. Even several years ago, the former President George W. Bush, a conservative, said that something strange is happening to the weather. And so we're talking about the fact that farmers notice that the weather is changing, because after all, summers are about a week longer than normal on average. And if you're a farmer, you have to know exactly when summer and fall and winter begin in order to coordinate the planting season. So the average person realizes that we're having 100-year storms, 100-year floods, 100-year forest fires, and something is happening. However, it is beyond the control of one corporation or one company to mitigate or alter this. We're talking about the weather, for God's sake. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to continue with Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.